Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Patrick Sigener. Patrick's the Program Executive Officer of NASA's Integrated Financial Management Program. And joining us in our conversation is Steve Sika.
Thanks, Paul. Patrick, the implementation of the IFMP program has meant a lot of changes for NASA and its employees. Can you explain to our listeners how you're managing that change?
We discovered very early on that the adoption of the program is not something that was automatically performed. Traditionally, especially when you have a series of processes that are perfectly capable of satisfying your requirements, there's a reluctance to try to learn how to use a new system. I mean, something as fundamental as when we get a new system on our laptop, a new operating system, we're reluctant to see the benefit. It takes us a while to get used to it. This was magnified, first of all, 10 times because we had 10 separate centers and therefore 10 separate systems that could not even be taught to take the next step on a one-size-fit-all approach. The second thing is this type of implementation is only as successful as the adoption of its ultimate users. We can have a theoretical technical success, and as I mentioned earlier, unless the system potential gets really exploited by the various constituencies, we're just not achieving the ultimate goals. And we discovered that change management, which is a very generic term, is something that requires a lot of attention. It's not an afterthought. It is not the purview of, you know, the softer sciences. It is not something that automatically will come to people that are in charge of training the various new users. It is actually an activity that requires not only focus, but organization, tracking, a specific set of metrics, quantifying to the extent possible how some of the changes you're trying to implement are catching on. I think that's actually the most difficult part of this undertaking, especially given the scope of the IFM program, where, as you mentioned earlier, we're touching not only the financial community, but also the programmatic community, the HR community, the average individual that works at the agency as a whole. There isn't a facet of our program that doesn't touch every single individual. So what we've decided to do is two things. First of all, we've hired who we considered were the best outside organizations capable of leading us through those steps. And our selection process there was based on their previous experience in comparable environments and also their ability to understand how our agency operates. We wanted to be very careful, again, because I'd like to believe we are special like every other organization, but it is not because this system worked in organization X that you can take exactly the same approaches and apply them to organization Y with hoping to get exactly the same results. In addition to that, self-introspection in this type of activity is very difficult. I don't presume to be able to autonomously gauge how well we're doing in implementing change. So that is why we went and we continue to use an outside set of eyes that can gauge on our behalf how well we're doing, and then additional outside resources that can lead us down that path. Now, how do we really measure that change? There's empirical methods, such as, you know, the good news is we can see how often people use the various modules of the system compared to, you know, when people get trained to get an ID and a password in the new system, and then we can develop some statistics, generic statistics, on how many users got trained, how many users are using the system on a period of time after the training, how many trouble tickets, error messages are generated, how many system questions get logged. So what we did is obviously maximize the capabilities of the system to gather that information and also set up a competency center, which is the equivalent of an ultra-sophisticated help desk. Imagine a help desk that not only can answer questions on how do I log on, but also can get into the system and take care of specific processing issues or look at relationships, look at the way the data is manipulated, the way it's stored, the way you report it. So one of the ways we measure change is also getting feedback from that center on the level of complexity of the questions being being answered. And also, as time evolves, you will have users go up the learning curve and bump into more and more complex issues. So that's, in a fairly balanced way, a method that we use to figure out how change is taking place. I mean, we do have customer surveys and a series of workshops, but those are not, I would say, as hard-hitting for us as, how often do we have problems cropping up when the various modules are getting used.
Patrick, one of the key components of change management, as you know, is communication. And I was just curious how you're ensuring that effective communication of all the program efforts and changes is getting out to the community.
One of the main drivers of the program is to make sure that we are as inclusive as possible. Unfortunately, we have to be located someplace. We happen to be at headquarters in Washington. But what we've done is in every single center, there is actually a local change management team. So the various centers dial only four digits on their phone to talk to somebody as opposed to, calling those characters in Washington. So that's a big step in really developing a mechanism for effective communication. The second component is one which is more of a generic approach, which is we literally, whether it's the administrator or myself or any of the enterprise leaders, will personally answer any phone call, email that gets sent to us regarding questions about the overall system. In most cases, the questions fall into two categories. There are the technical questions that the competency center will handle, but there is also, we wanted to make sure our folks understood there was an open door policy if you had larger concerns, strategic concerns, on the potential functionality of the entire suite of applications, on the impact of changing some of the processes. So the more generic, I would say global questions are encouraged and literally percolate all the way to the top. So that is also one of the communication lines we set up very early, which is there is the good news so far is we are not overwhelmed by calls and emails, but we'd like to believe that throughout the organization, people understand that vertical communication is completely open. In addition to that, we have created a category of super users, should we say, of the new modules, which means in every single group, department, organization, there are folks that volunteered to us the capability of sharing their knowledge and experience with their peers. So in many cases, and we're all like that, it's easier to walk to the office next door, the cube next door, and ask a question rather than pick up the phone and try to call a help desk. And we've really tried to build up this informal super user infrastructure along with business process leads in each one of the organizations that are the folks that are not so much technical, but that are there to try to explain the logic behind some of the steps and the changes that take place. And dealing with, technical constituencies, you cannot just say, do it because we tell you so. They will ask why.
What are some of the other complexities of the program, and how are you dealing with those?
One of the interesting aspects of this program is the fact that we have a lot of data that gets generated now, which is accessible to a very broad spectrum of users. Before, it was much more stovepiped. One of the interesting byproducts is how do you turn that data into information? And specifically in something as simple as reporting specific information related to a program, a project, an initiative, an undertaking. There's so much data that's now available at an incredible level of detail that teaching people to look at exactly the same information when they want to discuss it is actually an interesting challenge, because all of a sudden people get inquisitive and they want to explore, well, what if I present the information adding this and subtracting that and putting a time component and doing this type of analysis so I can go and discuss it with my peers? Well, it turns out that they did not exactly extract the information the same way, so they're not discussing exactly the same data. So one of the complexities is we have now a very powerful toolkit, and teaching folks to make sure they use the same tools when they're trying to obtain the same results is one of the components. I mean, it's an interesting byproduct of enhanced capability. The other one is a little bit different, and it has to do more with an evolution of our organizational structure. Information now can be shared and is readily available throughout a whole range of different activities. The ability to extract that information or to even develop specific models, specific scenarios using the historical data to move forward is a lot more present than in the past. So one of the things we're trying to incite is the ability to spend a little bit of time on getting deeper into what the information is and then developing maybe more what-if alternatives.
How does an integrated financial management program help NASA meet the goals laid out in the President's management agenda? We'll ask Patrick Sigena of NASA to give us his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.